core are three big, important choices we have to make as a country that can help us regain our sense of progress. First, leaving the European Union was a catastrophic mistake. The Vote Leave campaign deluded itself into thinking that the UK could forge a global free trade nirvana, as though we still had the East India Company at our disposal.
This is my video update on this Sunday midday, April the 17th, coming to you from Belgrade, Serbia. Let's talk about some news. And before we get to today's news topics, let me just say a quick thank you to everyone that is liking these videos, that is subscribing to this channel, and I very much appreciate all the hypes. I am loving the hypes. If you are watching this video on your mobile device on YouTube, then you can hit that hype button. And the hype button helps out the video. I'm not quite sure how you get on some sort of a leaderboard. But anyway, I just like it. I like the whole hype thing. So anyway, thank you to everyone that is liking, that is subscribing, and that is hyping. Let's talk about what is happening in the world today. And it's a Sunday. Let's start things off with Eurovision, huh? Bulgaria wins Eurovision. Congratulations to Bulgaria. They came in first place. The artist is Dada, and the song is Banga Garama or Banga Wama or something. I don't know what the song name is, but man, street art is nice. Graffiti, no. Street art, yes. Graffiti, no. Actually, let me see if I can find the name of the song that won. So things are looking good for Bulgaria, at least with the Euro globalists. Bulgaria got into the Euro currency. They're locked into the Euro. Bangaranga is the name of the song that won. They got into the Euro. They're now going to host the next Eurovision. Should I be congratulating Bulgaria or not on this one? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Europe and Bulgaria. They are focusing on Bulgaria, the globalist Euro cool kids. Now you got Eurovision next year. That's going to be fun. And sticking with Bulgaria, let's get back to geopolitics. Sticking with Bulgaria, we can talk about the new Prime Minister Radev, who said that Bulgaria will not be sending any troops or any weapons to fight Russia. No troops, no military weapons to Le Goblin Ver. Did he say anything about money? I'm not sure if he said anything about the 90 billion loan gift that is going to Le Goblin Ver, or anything about Bulgaria participating in that 90 billion gift to Le Goblin Ver, but he did say no money and no weapons. No woman, no cry. All right. No money, no weapons. Zelensky cries. Let's talk about big drone strikes into Moscow. Some of the biggest drone strikes into Moscow, and Zelensky has already posted on X that this is a type of retaliation to Russia's strikes into Kiev the other day. I can read you what the Green Goblin posted on X. One second. me get under the protection of this tree. Thank God for the trees. Big drone strike into Moscow. 120 UAVs were shot down. 1 second from midnight to the present, the mayor reported 81 drones shot down. Moreover, over the past 24 hours, according to Sobyanin, more than 120 UAVs were shot down. 120 is a lot. That is a lot of drones just for Moscow. Ukraine unleashed a massive overnight drone strike on Moscow and the surrounding region, targeting oil facilities and sensitive technology hubs deep inside Russia. That's according to the Kiev Post. But the images that I've been seeing are a lot of residential buildings hit. We do have casualties, and I believe a woman's apartment was hit and she died in the Moscow region. They actually hit a region outside of Moscow called Khimki. I don't think there's any military facilities in Khimki. I know the area pretty well. That's 100% residential. The Khimki region, it's like a suburb outside of Moscow. But what was I going to do? I was going to read you what the Green Goblin posted moments ago. This is breaking news coming to you from Belgrade, Serbia, from the Green Goblin, who is not popular here in Belgrade. I can tell you that. Our responses to Russia's prolongation of the war and its attacks on our cities and communities are entirely justified. This time, Ukrainian long-range sanctions reached the Moscow region, and we are clearly telling the Russians their state must end its war. Ukraine drone and missile manufacturers continue their work. I am grateful to the security service of Ukraine and all the defense forces of Ukraine and their precision. The distance from Ukraine state border is over 500 kilometers. The concentration of Russian air defense in the Moscow region is the highest, but we are overcoming it. Glory to Ukraine. Okay, that's what Zelensky posted. And as Zelensky posted this, we have more breaking news, which is that NATO aircraft took off due to Ukrainian drones in Latvia. The Latvian defense ministry reported a possible threat in the airspace around 6 in the morning Moscow time. So NATO scrambles fighter jets over Latvia as drones head into Moscow. Lots of drones into Moscow. And Zelensky is talking about it. He is talking it up. So that's the news there. Fico, he put out a statement saying that this is going to be a long war. Fico, 2 weeks ago, said that this is going to be a short war. The war is going to end, is what he said. He believes that there is an ending to this war coming soon. And he says yesterday that he has spoken to both sides, Putin and Zelensky, and they both have different narratives and different beliefs as to how things are going with this conflict. And he says that this is going to be a long war. It's going to go on for a while. He might be right. He might be correct in that. We'll see what happens at the end of 2026, what happens with Russia's offensive to wrap up the operation, the conflict in Donbas. If that does happen and Russia does take Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, which I believe they will by the autumn or by the end of 2026, we'll see if Putin issues new terms. We'll see if Europe, the United States, NATO, if they continue to pour in money and weapons into Ukraine. And maybe Fico is hinting at something. Maybe Fico is telling everybody that the collective West is going to continue this proxy war against Russia, take it to 2029, 2030, when we will have the expected big war between Europe and Russia. At least that's what the Europeans are saying. And that's why they are manufacturing all kinds of weapons. Not bad. Not bad right now. And Estonia, according to Bloomberg, by the way, I love this bench. This is like one of the coolest benches in the world, in my opinion. It's a huge bench. It's got the tree. Very cool. Very creative. So Estonia is, according to Bloomberg, is complaining about the 50% increase in weapons prices. Right? They're complaining about it. They want to manufacture all kinds of weapons, and they want to purchase all kinds of weapons. Well, they want to purchase all kinds of weapons, but the cost to manufacture those weapons has increased by over 50%, and Estonia is complaining. It's just costing too much to purchase weapons. Well, what did you expect, Estonia, right? You got all kinds of energy restrictions, right? You got all kinds of price hikes, inflation, and tons of contracts going to the MIC companies, right? More contracts that they can handle. So of course the price is going to go up. Of course they're going to jack up the price. Estonia, what did you guys think was going to happen? Anyway, that's Bloomberg talking about how Estonia is whining about the markup in purchasing weapons. Weapons are just expensive, and we need to purchase weapons because we got a war against Russia to prepare for in 2030, right? That is the complaint from Estonia, according to the Estonian defense minister, Hanno Pevkur, from Bloomberg. European nations are seeing higher prices for defense supplies that have climbed in some cases by more than 50% in the last 2 years as NATO allies ramp up military spending. The Estonian foreign minister, who's not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. What is going on in Estonia with Estonia's political class? What's in the water? What kind of water are they giving the Estonian political class? Anyway, the foreign minister of Estonia, what's his name? Margus Tsahkna. I messed up that name big time, I know. He warned Europe to not negotiate with the Kremlin. Don't take the bait, he says, the Kremlin bait in negotiating with the Kremlin directly. As if they're actually talking about negotiating with the Kremlin directly. There has been some whispers about perhaps talking to Russia, putting together some sort of a team, a foundation, so that they can begin some sort of talks with Russia. But of course, it's always with Ukraine's permission and Ukraine's direction. They always say that. Well, yeah, we might start some talks with Russia, but, you know, always with Ukraine's lead and Ukraine's supervision. So they always say that. And Ukraine terms, right? The capitulation terms. They also say that. Yeah, there was talk about a week ago talking with Russia, and it was basically capitulation terms. If we're going to negotiate with Russia, then we have to deliver the negotiation terms with Russia. That would be the requirement that we have in order to enter into direct negotiations with Russia. That's what the Europeans said last week. The world laughed. But this foreign minister of Estonia is saying, don't take the Kremlin bait. Because according to him, the Kremlin, they're playing a clever game, and they would like the Europeans to negotiate directly with Moscow. Because according to the foreign minister, Moscow has been weakened. It's at its weakest point. And now is the time to actually increase the pressure. Now is not the time to enter into direct negotiations. Now is the time to increase the pressure because Moscow is weak and getting weaker. So that's what the Estonian foreign minister said. Anyway, that's what's going on there. Interesting politicians in Estonia. What's next on the agenda? We had the Unite the Kingdom rally in the UK. That happened yesterday. The media is talking about, check out the bird on top of the head. Cool. The media is talking about 50,000 people, 100,000 people. I don't know. I saw the videos from the Unite the Kingdom. I would put it at millions. A million? Maybe more than a million showed up at this rally. It looked big, very big. And then we got the Daily Mail article, the exclusive from the Daily Mail, where they have some sources, or at least one source close to 008, Keir Starmer, who claims that Starmer is preparing his resignation for the middle of June. I believe the date they put it at was June the 18th after some by-elections, some elections take place. That's when he's going to call it quits. And according to the Daily Mail, Dan Hodges, my sources tell me Keir has decided to stand down, but he'll do it on his own terms. Yeah, according to the Daily Mail, Keir Starmer realizes that things are chaotic and unsustainable. He realizes that no one wants him to be prime minister, not even the Labour Party. But he simply wants to be able to do it, to resign in a dignified way and in a manner of his own choosing. He will set out a timetable. He wants to resign in a dignified way. Keir Starmer and dignified just does not go together, right? Dignified and Keir Starmer. Nah, it doesn't add up. Not at all. 008. I will resign, but I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, that's the latest from London. We had a big explosion in Israel yesterday. Did you guys hear about that? Outside of Tel Aviv, and it happened in the middle of the night or late in the evening when it was dark. A huge explosion happened, and we haven't really had believable reports or information as to what was behind this explosion. I have no idea what was behind this explosion. I'll give you the official narrative. The official narrative is that this was a defense firm that was near an area called Beit Shemesh, and it was a pre-planned experiment. The defense firm is called Tomer. It's a government, it's a state-owned defense firm, which develops engines for rockets and missiles. And it said that the blast was a pre-planned experiment that was carried out according to plan in the middle of the night. Really? Like that type of explosion, a test? Doesn't make much sense. But when you look at the video of the actual explosion taking place, huge, massive, massive explosion. So on the topic of Israel, the New York Times is reporting that... What am I doing here? How's my phone? I always worry about the rain and the phone, the camera. The New York Times is reporting that Israel and the United States, the Trump administration, they are deep in planning for another attack against Iran that could happen as early as next week. And according to the New York Times, the plan can take, the military operation against Iran can take two forms. And we already know what the idea is for some sort of a military strike into Iran. We've talked about this many, many times over the past month. Option number one is to put together some sort of a special operation where they go into Iran and they remove the obliterated uranium, the uranium that doesn't exist, or the uranium that is dust. According to Trump, it's uranium dust, right? And only the United States and China is capable of removing this uranium dust. And Trump would feel better if the United States had control, had possession of this uranium dust, the obliterated uranium. And the operation would be about getting control, taking that uranium out of Iran, or taking that dust out of Iran and bringing it to the United States. I don't know how that's done. I don't know how you do that. I don't even understand what exactly Trump's talking about when he says uranium dust. But anyway, that's operation number one that could possibly happen. Operation number two is just more airstrikes. I don't understand what that's going to accomplish. Bigger airstrikes, deeper airstrikes into Iran, trying to hit some military targets that they did not hit during the first month of the war. I still don't understand what the goal of that would be, but that's the other option that the New York Times is talking about. Okay, that could happen next week, and the United States and Israel are already planning it. An interesting development that was announced this morning is that Ghalibaf has been appointed as Iran's special representative for China affairs. That's an interesting development. Trump goes to China. Putin is on his way to China. And Arachi was in China last week. And the announcement comes that Ghalibaf is going to be a special rep between Iran and China. The world stands at the cusp of a new order, says Ghalibaf. As President Xi said, the transformation, unseen in a century, is accelerating across the globe. And I emphasize that the Iranian nation's 70-day resistance has accelerated this transformation. The future belongs to the global south. That's what he posted on X after this announcement was announced, after this position of a representative for China was announced. Ghalibaf posts this on X. So would the United States dare to try and go after Iran and China's special envoy, go after their special representative? Would they dare to do that? Is this a message to the Trump administration from Iran, but more importantly from China? Is this a way to protect Ghalibaf against any kind of future decapitation strikes, as Israel and the Trump administration allegedly are preparing new attacks against Iran? Could the new attacks against Iran be more decapitation strikes? And maybe they are thinking about going after more leadership in Iran, continuing to try and regime change Iran. Interesting move, interesting appointment of Ghalibaf. So I want to read you an article from CNN on Cuba, since we're talking about regime change. We may be getting a regime change operation. Well, we already have a regime change operation underway in Cuba, but it may be accelerating, and CNN is pushing the regime change narrative. I talked about everything that's developing in Cuba yesterday in my video update. If you have not seen it, check it out. But according to CNN, Cubans prepare for invasion as U.S. escalates tensions with long-suffering island. Cubans have lived with the threat of U.S. military action for so long that it has become a dark joke. Cuando vienen los americanos, when the Americans come, is the expression Cubans employ with their trademark black humor to say how a long-running problem, of which there are countless, will one day be resolved. Now it really does look one way or another like the Americans are coming. That is the CNN article. And they also talk about, in this article, about how Ratcliffe did indeed go to Cuba, and the CIA head, Ratcliffe, and his team, and they delivered an ultimatum to Cuba. Either you guys regime change yourselves, or we'll do it for you. That was the message that Ratcliffe delivered to the Cuban leaders the other day. And as I said in my video update yesterday, Ratcliffe posted about it. He didn't want this to be secret. He posted all of this on X, or at least he posted photos of his trip to Havana on X. Ratcliffe's mission was to make Cuba a do-or-die offer. Right? A do-or-die offer. That's what I was talking about yesterday, and CNN confirmed this. The article also says that those arguments apparently fell on deaf ears, so his do-or-die offer fell on deaf ears. Ratcliffe accused the Cuban officials of hosting Russian and Chinese listening posts on the island and thwarting U.S. interests in the region, according to U.S. officials. So according to Ratcliffe, he's very angry with Cuba because they have listening posts on the island. Listening posts on the island, and now he wants military action and regime change. Meanwhile, NATO just keeps on trying to expand and is conducting a proxy war against Russia. But Russia's at fault, right? Russia's to blame. Unprovoked, full-scale invasion. Meanwhile, Ratcliffe is talking about regime change and military operations because of alleged listening posts. Oh, boy. So what's next? One second. What is next on the news agenda? Come on, phone. Open up. Should we talk about Germany? I don't even have a clown world for today. Kind of have a clown world focused on Mertz. But before I get to my Mertz clown world, let's walk to Republic Square. Let's walk to the main square here in Belgrade. I'll do my clown world from there. And we can mention the fact that AfD is now polling at 30%, almost 30%. They're almost there. They're not at 30%. They're at 29%. 29. When they hit 30%, that is going to cause a huge, massive freakout with the globalist political class in Germany and all across Europe, the European Union, when AfD hits 30%, and when it passes 30%, which I expect they will pass 30%, given the state of things in Germany and the terrible job that BlackRock Merz is doing. Not that BlackRock Merz seems to care about the terrible job that he is doing, to be quite honest. I do get the impression that Merz doesn't give an F about his wrecking of Germany. He's completely focused. You got to hand it to him. He is absolutely completely focused on war with Russia. BlackRock Merz singularly focused on building up what he says is going to be the biggest military in all of Europe, God help us, and launching that military into some sort of a conflict against Russia. Everything else, Merz doesn't really care. But German citizens care. And the AfD is growing. And so, she's going to be chancellor, Alice Weidel. She will be chancellor if this keeps up. We'll see if they allow her to be chancellor, if we're going to get some sort of Romania games going on. Some Romania meddling from the EU. TikTok. TikTok. Russian meddling in Romania, right? The do-over elections that happened. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. And they tried to pin the blame on Russia. Pathetic. TikTok in Russia. Absolutely pathetic. So, let's do a kind of clown world. And Merz was speaking at a Catholic event, some sort of a Catholic group event. I forgot the name of the town or the city. But Merz started to mock the USA. He started to really go after the United States. I mean, he really doesn't care. Merz just doesn't care. He's focused on weapons and war. I don't even know if Merz, I don't even think Merz knows what he's saying, right, at this point in time. Weapons, war. War, weapons. Russia, 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 Russia. So Merz, he said a week ago that Trump was humiliated by Iran. Trump did not like it. I don't like it. He got very upset with Merz. Merz walked it back. He walked back his statement that he made about a week ago. But now Merz is at it again. And this time he is going after the U.S. Education system. He's talking about how he would not want his kids to study in the United States. He took jabs at U.S. society in general. And I'm going to read you what Merz said. Let me get to the square, put this umbrella down, and I will read you exactly what Merz said. It's kind of raining, kind of not. You know, yesterday was a good day. Today it got cold, and tomorrow, I believe tomorrow is going to be warm again. I think it's going to be over 20 tomorrow. Narodny muzey. Now the rain kind of stopped. Kind of. Just in time for me to read you BlackRock Merz the Catholic Youth Conference in Würzburg, Mertz said, I am a great admirer of America. At the moment, my admiration is not growing. Mertz also argued that even highly educated Americans were increasingly struggling to find employment, suggesting the U.S. was no longer the land of opportunity it once was. I wouldn't recommend to my children today that they go to the U.S., get an education there, and work there, he said. Well, you know, Mertz, you really shouldn't be talking this kind of smack about the United States, number one. You should not be talking this kind of smack about the USA. So you should cut that out. But you should be focused more on the deindustrialization of Germany and what you have done to further accelerate the deindustrialization of Germany, Mertz. Focus on the German economy and German industry rather than talking smack about the United States. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. That's why AfD is rising. That is exactly why they are rising, because their message is focused on domestic issues. And they are saying enough of this green goblin stuff. Enough money going to Le Goblin Vert. That's my video, everybody. Like, share, subscribe. Check us out on Substack. Got a lot of articles going up on Substack, so definitely go to Substack. Check us out on theduran.locals.com. Go to the Duran Shop, 30% off. T-shirts. That's the special running on the Duran Shop. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.